Well, we're in a series called Growth Agents, and so I want you to turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 3, to the book of Titus, to the third chapter. While you're turning there, let me ask you a question. How many of you came to church today by an automobile or a vehicle of some kind? Maybe not just, it could have been a church van, it could have been a bus, it could have been Uber. Yes, we have Uber now in Lebanon, I'm told. But how many of you came in an automotive vehicle? Raise your hands, please. Anybody not come in an automotive vehicle today? We used to have a guy that would ride a bike, and today would be a little dicey with the rain in the forecast, but I doubted anybody did that or anybody walked today. You have, you live close enough to walk. But that automobile that you rode in or drove in, that was a tool, wasn't it? That was the tool that you used to get to your destination, to church. But there was fuel inside of that automobile that allowed you to get here quickly and safely and in the best way possible. Using that analogy, today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about growth agents for a few weeks now. And these growth agents are great things we've been talking about. Confession is important. You need confession in your life. I need it in my life. If we're going to see revival in this country, which we're praying for right now, we need confession. Bible study, so important. You know, we were reading about that today in my life group, that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and it's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting, correction of error, so that we'll be trained in righteousness. It's important. Prayer is important. And not just any old prayer, but strategic prayer. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Being a part of the body and discovering your place of service, very important. But what we're going to talk about today is the fuel. Those are the tools, and this is the fuel that's going to get you where you need to be. The fuel of the Holy Spirit. You see, God wants to do something for you. He wants to do something for each and every one of you here. I don't know what you need today, but I think to a person, if we were honest, we would say, I need God in my life right now. I need God's power. I need His power in my relationships. I need His power as I try to live the Christian life. I need His power because I've got a sin, a besetting sin that I'm just bound to. I can't get free. I need His wisdom. We'd all say we need God. What I'm going to give you today or talk to you about is the fuel that you need to live the victorious Christian life. In fact, my message today is entitled, Living in the Power of the Holy Spirit. Living in the Power of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of times that throws us off because we don't understand a lot about the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk a little bit, before we get into our points today, about who the Holy Spirit is. But first, I want you to hear God's Word. So again, Titus chapter 3, I want you to listen to this, starting in verse 4, and really perk your ears up for how the Holy Spirit is involved in this passage. Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Praise God for that verse right there. Not by works of righteousness that we had done. Anybody who thinks they're working their way to salvation is just sadly misinformed. But rather according to His mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. He poured out His Spirit on us abundantly. I like that phrase right there. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that having been justified by His grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life. Verse 8. This saying is trustworthy. I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed God might be careful to devote themselves to good works. Why good works? Because we have been saved by God, not because we're trying to earn our salvation. But that we might be careful to devote ourselves to good works. These are good and profitable for everyone. Father, I thank You for Your holy inspired Word. Jesus, I thank You for Your sacrifice on the cross. I thank You for the fact that You paid the price for our sins on a bloody cross, and You were raised from the dead, proving who You were and that what You said You would do is true. Holy Spirit, I thank You that You come and You seal us in salvation, and then you indwell inside of us so that we can live lives that are more productive. You're the fuel that guides us and helps us in our growth to become more like Jesus. Spirit, we love you and thank you, and we praise you. I pray that you would help us to understand you better as a person, as a personal God who dwells within us today. Help me to preach this message, please, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If your eyes are not closed now, but if they were, go ahead and close your eyes again. I want you to think about something. Close your eyes. And for a moment, just put a picture in your mind. When I say God the Father, what picture comes to your mind? Hopefully not some grandfatherly figure in a rocking chair. A lot of people, when they think about God, they think about glorious light. God the Father, that is. Now, with your eyes still closed, picture Jesus the Son. Again, because we've had some films depicting Jesus or paintings or pictures, a lot of us have an idea. Whether that's right or wrong is debatable, but we have a picture of Jesus. He was a human being at one time. Now, thirdly, with your eyes closed, try to picture the Holy Spirit in your mind. You might have a picture of a dove because of some things that you've read before, or a fire. But it's kind of hard to picture the Holy Spirit, isn't it? You can open your eyes now. I don't want you falling asleep. The Holy Spirit's not very easy to picture, is he? In fact, Jesus describes the Holy Spirit in one part of the New Testament as kind of like being the wind. Wind is hard to picture, isn't it? Now, we can picture what wind does. Sometimes in March and April, wind can be very destructive. It's a powerful force. But it's hard to actually picture wind. And for some of us, it's hard to picture the Holy Spirit. Not only is it hard to picture the Holy Spirit, but it's difficult to understand because there's a variety of teachings about the Holy Spirit. And there's some confusion in the Christian community about the Holy Spirit. I want to suggest to you today that while the Holy Spirit is unseen, that doesn't mean he's not real. You know, for centuries, people didn't believe that germs were real because they couldn't see them with the naked eye. But let me tell you, they were there. The Holy Spirit is there and he's real. But he's not just some unseen force. We've been really influenced by Star Wars. May the Force be with you. And we think of it as some impersonal force. That's not who the Holy Spirit is. He is a personal member of the Trinity. He is God, forever God. He's always existed. He was there at the creation. He was there at the baptism of Jesus. And he's here today with us. And if you know Christ as your Savior, he indwells inside of you personally. He's personal God. And he wants you to know him. And he wants you to rely on him. He wants you to be filled. That's a word that we're going to talk about that has a lot of misconceptions. And so, Jesus is with you today. And let me just say this, not wanting to step on any toes or offend anybody, but I believe this is clear teaching in Scripture. You, if you're saved, the moment that you are saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. And you get all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. Now, you can choose whether to be filled with the Spirit, and whether to walk and stay in step with the Spirit, and whether to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, or walk in the flesh. Sadly, it's the way God made it. God made us free moral agents, and we can be a Christian and walk carnally. You can live like the world. That's what it's saying right here, after all. Or you can walk in the power of the Spirit. That's what I hope you're excited for. As you're excited to grow this year, and I know some of you are, and you've taken the time to put together a Bible study plan, and you're reading through the Bible this year, I commend you for that. Your prayer life, you're working on that. You're working on other areas of your life. Let's put some fuel to it, okay? Let's get from point A to point B. I'm glad nobody had to push their car to Hillcrest today, aren't you? I hope nobody did. Because if you did, you still wouldn't be here yet. You'd still be working on it. Put some fuel to your effort today. Listen to God's teaching about the Holy Spirit. Quick context on this before we move into it. Paul is writing this letter of Titus to a man that he had led to Christ and mentored. Titus was a young pastor, and he's leading these believers on the island of Crete. And it's not the easiest place to serve. In fact, I would imagine from what I know about this letter that if Titus would have had a search committee come along one day, he'd have been mighty tempted to move on down to another island. They were hard to get along with, and not only that, but there were some false teachers that had sprang in. and they were teaching some things that were not truthful. And so Paul is trying to encourage him here. He's writing a pastoral letter, a letter of instruction to a young pastor, encouraging him to carry out the mission. And thankfully, by God's grace, Titus did carry out the mission. But he's talking about how they're to live and how they're to move forward as a church and how they're to live in light of a watching world that is also a lost world. You know, the lost world is watching you and watching me. And even if they have misconceptions about you, you know, sometimes they'll call us hypocrites. Sometimes they'll say, well, the church is this, supposed to be this, and they're not. You don't listen to that. You listen to the Spirit and let the Spirit guide you. Let the Spirit move you to new heights because they are watching us and we want to be good stewards of what God has given them. That's why he says here in verse 1. I didn't read it, but look at it in Titus 3 verse 1. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to slander no one, to avoid fighting, and to be kind, always showing gentleness to all people. So Paul is encouraging them to live the Christian life. But notice that as we get into the text that I read, he doesn't say to do it on your own. He doesn't say try harder. He doesn't say give it your best effort, give it the old college try. He says, do it under the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's not the only place he says that. He says that other places in Scripture too. So the Holy Spirit is to be our power for living. What he does for us is he saves us, and then he walks with us, if we'll let him, controlling and leading our lives, and we can live the Spirit-filled life. It's not beyond any one of you to live a Spirit-filled life. You don't have to be a preacher to be Spirit-filled. You're not a second-class Christian because you're a new believer or because you've got baggage or because you've got questions or even doubts or fears. You've got the Spirit, brother or sister. You can live in the power of the Spirit. And yes, I said that in a Baptist church, and yes, it's true. So let's talk about the Spirit. Let's talk about four things the Spirit does, okay? Four things that the Spirit provides for you and for me. All right, this is where we get into our outline. Write it down because that'll help you remember it. It'll help you to meditate on it later on. That's important to do as we teach the Word of God. Number one, the Holy Spirit provides the power to be born again. The power to be born again. And by the way, that just comes straight out of the teaching of the Word of God. You may be thrown off by that a little bit, the power to be born again. Do you know there's a lot of people out there that know the gospel? I talked to a guy yesterday at Upward. And he's wanting to be saved. He knows the gospel. But he's not been saved yet. And sadly, he wasn't willing to be saved yesterday. But I'm hoping soon he will be saved. Folks, salvation is an act of the power of God. You are saved by a decision you make. I mean, you definitely make the decision. But it's the power of God who draws you and convicts you and saves you. And that's what happens here. He saved us, verse 5, back in the text, not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Now, those are a couple of big words that we better talk about just for a minute. I don't want you confused about those words. The word regenerate. Regenerate means to rebirth. Again, it's the word Jesus used in John chapter 3, to be born again. We've heard that word used in our society today. Sometimes it's lost its meaning. Take you back to where it actually came about. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a very wealthy man. He's a Pharisee, and he's well respected as a leader in his community. But he's got questions. He knows that Jesus has done miracles. He's listened to his teaching. He believes Jesus has truly come from God. He knows his life doesn't match up with where it ought to be, and he's got questions. And so you know the story in John 3. He comes to Jesus at night. I was talking this with the kids yesterday in my lesson, devotion. He was the original Nick at night. And so hopefully you know what that is. But Nick came to Jesus at night with questions. And here's the crazy thing. Jesus didn't even wait for him to ask the questions. He knew already what they were. And what did he say to him? He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. That threw him for a loop. He couldn't believe it. He said, what do you mean born again? Does that mean I've got to go back to my mother's womb? How can I be born twice? So we talked about yesterday how Jesus said, no, you need two birthdays, a physical birthday and a spiritual birthday. And that's what he said to Nicodemus, and that's what it means to be born again. We all have a physical day of our birth. We also have a spiritual birthday if we're saved. You're not born a Christian. You're not a Christian because you live in a Christian family or a Christian country or you go to a Christian church. You're a Christian because the Spirit comes to you and convicts you and you receive the gift of salvation. And you repent of your sins and trust Christ. And the day or the moment that happens is your spiritual birthday. Now, you may not remember the actual day of that happening, but you ought to have at least some sense of when that happened for you. If you don't have any recollection of that, that's kind of a red flag. Jesus said, you must be born again. So here's what the Spirit does. God makes us spiritually alive through the Holy Spirit. That's what He's really talking about. The Bible says we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We are spiritually dead. Go back to that car illustration today. If you got up this morning and you were ready to come to church, and you got in your car, and you tried to crank it and turn the key, and nothing happened, chances are you had a dead battery. Now, you can keep cranking on that and cranking on that. You can say, just one more time, and it'll work. But if your battery's dead, your battery's dead. You're not going anywhere. Something's got to happen to change. And we are spiritually dead without Christ. I don't care what you know, how good you live, and what you hold to, but you need Christ to be saved. And that happens through the Holy Spirit. Listen to John chapter 6 and verse 63. The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Before I came to Christ, I was spiritually dead. Now I'm spiritually alive. Second is that God places us into the body of Christ through the Holy Spirit. We talked about that last week, so I'm not going to talk about that very long today. But suffice it to say, whether you're involved in a church or not right now, if you're truly saved, you're part of the body. That's the tragedy of not being in a church. Now, I know that you get hurt in church sometimes, or sometimes you're between churches, but don't stay that way. Keep trying to find a church that's right for you. And there are no perfect churches, all right? If there were, don't go in there because you just mess it up yourself. But listen, find a church because you're part of a body. And God designed it for you to be together with other believers. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12. We read this last week in verse 13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, and we were given one Spirit to drink. Now let me clarify one other point there about this baptism. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? That's a head scratcher for a lot of people. A lot of people wonder, what in the world does that mean? Is that something that happens after we're saved? Does that happen when we're baptized? No. I believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is what John said. John said, right now I baptize with water, but a day's coming where He will baptize you with the Spirit. It's just the Spirit coming on you. It's the Spirit coming to live or indwell inside of you. And again, I believe you get all of the Spirit the moment that you are saved. The Spirit Himself is the baptism. I believe that's what Scripture lines up with when you look at all those Scriptures that talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so it's a once and for all event that comes upon every Bible-believing Christian. I like what one guy said. One guy said, now, the Holy Spirit may not have all of you, but you have all of the Holy Spirit. And Adrian Rogers talked about this too. He said, the second blessing is just understanding what you got in the first place. We get it all at first. And so we choose to live in the power of the Spirit. But you've got the Spirit in you right now. That's the beautiful thing. You've got the power to get to the destination that you're going. The Holy Spirit is to be the power for living. But let me say one more thing about that. God protects and reassures us through the Holy Spirit. God protects us and reassures us through the Holy Spirit. You know what Jesus said about the Spirit? He said the Spirit is your helper. One called alongside to help. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had some people who are good help and some people who are not such good help. And I won't name any names. But good helpers are a blessing, aren't they? They're behind you when you need them. They help share the load or share the burden. And they help you when you're questioning yourself. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Listen to what Romans 8:16 says. The Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. How do you know that you're saved today? Some people say, well, I prayed a prayer in church when I was 8 years old, or I was baptized, or I had this experience when I was, such and such at a revival. Well, you know what? That little, very well could be your literal salvation experience. But you know what I would like even better? If you could say that I know the Holy Spirit is with me. The Holy Spirit confirms and assures in my life that I'm saved. Here's why I think that's a better answer. We can't always trust experiences. We can't always trust things that happened a long, long time ago. And while I am fortunate, the Lord has allowed me to remember the day that I was saved. I remember it well. And I know I was saved that moment. I also have the confirmation of the Spirit in my life all through the rest of my life. Not that I've been perfect, but I see the Spirit in my life. Now, you're probably looking at me like, well, what do you mean by that? Let me give you some indications. Now, this is not foolproof. This is just something that's pastors that I've put together. But these are five indications that you may not have the Holy Spirit in you. You may not have this confirmation. Because listen, I realize a lot of people struggle with whether or not they are really saved. So I want you to think through these five indications. Number one, not only do you not, it's okay if you don't know when you were saved as far as the day or the year, but you have no recollection of it whatsoever. You know, our testimony is such that it's my life before I was saved, how I got saved, and my life after being saved. Each one of those are a testimony in and of themselves. But if you have no recollection at all of how you were saved, or why you were saved, or what was going on in your life, like I said earlier, that's a little bit of a red flag. A second red flag is if you're living still like verse 3 describes. I didn't read verse 3, but I will now. Look at verse 3 there in the passage. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. Paul says, "For we too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by various passions and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, detesting one another." What he's saying is the Christian life is a changed life. Not a perfect life, but a changed life. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Now I know that you're a work in progress, and I am too. Be patient with me, God isn't finished with me yet. But God is at work in your life, and that's a confirmation where the Spirit reassures you if you can see God's hand in your life. Third, if you can't identify at all with praise and worship. Now, I'm not talking about the style of music. Keith very adroitly pointed out that we like different kinds of music and different music speaks to us in different ways. But if just singing and worshiping God doesn't have any allure for you at all, if you don't have any desire to want to praise God in that way, I'm not saying you can sing well. I know we have different talents and abilities in that area. But you ought to want to be a part of praise and worship. Even if you're not able to sing that well. If there's no desire, you can't identify with these songs at all, there's a problem there. Take it a little farther. If you feel a lot more comfortable around unsaved people than saved people, and you want to hang around unsaved people, now I'm not saying to witness. We're talking about who's your one, and you need to build a relationship with an unsaved person. We need to welcome unsaved people here. We want them here in this church. But if you as a Christian, all your relationships, and you gravitate towards unsaved people instead of saved people, that's kind of a red flag. Not saying that's the tell-all sign, but it is a red flag. Lastly, if you have little or no interest in the reading of the Bible or prayer, like you never want to open the Bible, you don't want to learn, or you have no desire to grow in your prayer life, that's a red flag. So you see why these other things are tools, but the real fuel is the Holy Spirit. And so we are to examine ourselves. I'm not trying to scare anybody today, but we are to examine ourselves and make sure we're in the faith. It's a gift. God gives us this gift, but it comes by the power of the Spirit. And have you said yes to the Spirit on the matter of your salvation? That's question number one. Question number two, or statement number two. The Holy Spirit provides the power to live a better life. To live a better life. Regeneration is about being born again, Then he talks about renewal. He says he saved us, verse 5 again, not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. A little farther down in verse 6 it says, he poured out his Spirit abundantly on us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Folks, there it is. The Holy Spirit is with us and in us and wanting for us to walk in step with the Spirit. He wants us to walk in step with Him. Listen, think about this. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. Think about the potential. Think about the power that you have in your life. It's available to you. In fact, that's why Jesus said, it's actually better that I am no longer physically present on the earth. Remember when Jesus said that to his disciples in John chapter 16? He says, I'm telling you the truth. It's better that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the counselor won't come to you. There's that terminology, the counselor or helper. Now think about those poor disciples. They've walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. They've seen him now raised from the dead. They know he's the Messiah. Think about if you were in that situation. Imagine you were there with him in that moment. What would you think if he said, I'm going away now? You'd say, no, Jesus, don't go away. We're just getting started. We're getting ready to take the world for you. We're going to win people to Christ. Don't leave us now. This is the worst thing that could happen. Jesus says, no, really it's the best thing that could happen. Because God, the Spirit, is going to come and live inside of you and give you power that you can't do just because I'm here with you. Power beyond what you've ever had before. Now, what does that mean practically? Well, what does that look like practically? Well, first of all, as I said earlier, we are continually indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That means that you never have to battle Satan alone. All right? Do you ever feel alone? Do you ever feel abandoned? Do you ever feel like you're abandoned by your friends or your family? You know what? You're never truly alone as a Christian because the Spirit is with you at all times. And He's here helping you in every situation of life. If you're confused, if you're lonely, if you're in a difficult season of life, the Spirit is with you. Lean on Him. Allow Him to work in your life. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 says, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you also believed, you were sealed in Him with the promised Holy Spirit. I love that terminology of being sealed in Him. That was like an official Roman document. And if you broke that seal, you were dead by the Roman Empire. And so He is sealing you. He's protecting you. He's living in you. But not only that, we are equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you the strength you need and the power you need. And here's how I want to really illustrate this in a very clear and succinct way. The way that happens is by your choice. We make the choice whether or not we are filled with the Spirit every day, sometimes every hour. Let me illustrate it by using the Word of God. Listen to this scripture. You'll know this passage. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but rather be filled with the Spirit. Paul writes these words as an illustration. Now, some people read the first part of that and never get to the last part. They think, yeah, go, Paul. We shouldn't be drinking. We shouldn't be drunken. That's definitely true. You should not drink to drunkenness. You should not be out getting drunk. But that's not the main point of that verse. He's using that as an illustration. What happens when a person is drunk? What happens when a person is drunk? They do things they would never do on their own. They say things and they act out. That's when people put lampshades on their heads. If you're driving and you're drinking and you've drank too much and somebody pulls you over and they give you a breathalyzer and they find out you are drinking and you are illegally drunk, what happens? They issue you a citation for driving under the influence. That's what Paul is really getting at. Don't be under the influence of liquor or wine or alcohol. Rather be under the influence or control of the Holy Spirit. And you decide that every day. Sometimes every hour. Sometimes you'll decide that on a moment's notice. Love this story. I've told it before. If you've heard it before, you'll still love it. Bear with me. But there is a story from the life of Corrie ten Boom. And she was a lady that was a hero in World War II. She was a young lady then, like a teenage girl. And this is in this book that she wrote called The Hiding Place. There's a movie about this as well. But it's a great illustration of the power of the Holy Spirit in a very practical way. So Corrie and her family helped Jewish people to escape from the Nazis in the Netherlands where they lived. And so they would hide them in the upstairs of their store that they owned. Well, ultimately, the German or Nazi soldiers discovered that they were hiding Jews. And so this was a Dutch family, but they were captured and taken to a concentration camp, just like the Jewish people were, where Corrie and her family suffered horribly. Corrie watched as her sister was abused by Nazi guards and later died. She watched her father be killed. She was spared, however. Although she did not have a lot to eat and was in horrible conditions, she made it through and was delivered. And later on, as an older woman, would go around the United States on speaking tours and would speak in churches, Christian churches, because Corrie was a strong Christian. Well, one day she was speaking in church somewhere in America, gave a talk, and talked a lot about forgiveness and how she's had to forgive. She did have to forgive a lot, didn't she? And she got to the point where after it was over, people would greet her and come up to her, kind of like you guys do with us after we preach out there. And a guy with a thick accent came up to her and greeted her. And immediately she was taken back to those horrible moments in her teenage years. She could see the guards at Ravensbrück. She could see the horrible treatment of her family and her friends. She could feel the hatred in her heart for the people that did that to her. And she recognized the man. He had been a guard in that very concentration camp. And he was speaking English, but with a German accent. And he said, "Oh, isn't it wonderful to experience forgiveness of God?" And he extended his hand. She said, "I didn't want to take his hand. At that very moment, I hated him. But I had to make a choice. I just preached. And I had people watching me. And so I said, 'God, Holy Spirit of God, help me. I can't do this on my own.'" And she said, "It was like an unseen force lifted my arm and my hand. And I was able to take his hand and smile and said, 'Yes, the forgiveness of God is wonderful.'" Folks, that's a practical example of the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't make it something it's not. Don't make it something way weird out there. It's the power of God to live your daily life in a way that pleases Him. So when you say, "I've got enemies and I've not forgiven them, I know I need to pray for them," ask the God, the Holy Spirit, to help you. If you've got people in your neighborhood you need to witness to, if you've not talked to who's your one lately, and you need boldness, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. The Holy Spirit, if you've got a besetting sin, we're going to talk about fasting, but get on your knees and pray and fast, but ask the Holy Spirit to help you to overcome that sin that you have. We need the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power to live a better life. So we're equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're continually indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I got to keep moving here. Third point. The Holy Spirit provides the power to grow in our faith. To grow in our faith. Not just to live a better life, but notice verse 7. "So that having been justified by His grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life." You see, the Holy Spirit will help you to grow in your knowledge of the will of God. Jesus said, if you have questions about what God's will is for your life or what you should do in this situation, how to see things in the right way. Boy, aren't there some confusing, complexing moral issues in our society today? How do I understand this crazy world that I live in? I'm in a situation right now where I'm dealing with a problem between different parties. How do I know who's right and who's wrong? I need the Holy Spirit to guide me and to give me wisdom. And Jesus said that would happen. John chapter 14 and verse 26. "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you." In chapter 16 and verse 13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth." The Holy Spirit will guide you to know God's will for your life and for whatever circumstances you're facing. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit will help you grow in your desire to live for God. I want to live for God, and sometimes, though, I want to live for my flesh. And it's a battle, isn't it? Paul talks about that battle that we have. When we don't do what we should do and what we want to do, we don't do. Well, the Holy Spirit will help you to live for God. But it starts when I say, whatever you want to do in my life, Lord, I'm willing. We just say, yes, God. Paul said it this way in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Think about that. I like that. Keep in step with the Spirit. What does that mean? Keep in step with the Spirit. Just say over and over again, when you know that's what He wants, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You don't have to fight the devil alone. You have the power to defeat him. You just have to say, yes, Lord. Let me give you some examples. Let's say you and your life group, you're studying a passage of Scripture. And you know that there's somebody that you're at odds with, and you're talking about relationships and how you're to love your enemies. And you're not to think that have hatred in your heart for somebody. And you say, yes, Lord, by going and making that right. I know you don't feel like it. I know it's not easy to do. But you say, yes, Lord. And as you take those steps, the Lord gives you the power. The Holy Spirit strengthens you. And after that happens, guess what? You grow in your faith. You're stronger in your faith because you've seen the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, work in your life in that way. And so that brings you to kind of a crossroads, doesn't it? Which is really the crux of this message. Every day of our lives, we have the choice to either say yes to the Lord or to do what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 says, to quench the Holy Spirit. And that's what the problem is a lot of times we quench the Holy Spirit because we want to do things our way. We want it our way. The Holy Spirit helps you to grow in your confidence of the provision of God, but only as you say yes. Because as you quench the Holy Spirit and you do that repeatedly over time, then pretty soon you don't hear that still small voice like you once did. And you get off track. And you begin to wonder, am I really even saved? Or what is my purpose? Or what is God's plan for my life? Start by just saying, yes, Lord, I'll do what I know you want me to do. Listen, spiritual growth may not be easy, but it's not impossible. It's possible because you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. And God is patient with you. Every one of us is a work in progress. Let me give you the last part of this, okay? Very quickly. The Holy Spirit provides the power to accomplish God's work in the world. You see, we've made this all about ourselves so far, haven't we? We've talked about how we can live a better life, how we can experience the power of God in our lives. But you know what? God has an even bigger plan than that. God wants us to be used as we walk in the Spirit to make a difference in the world. And that's really what living the Christ life is all about. You know what? When this life is over, I'm not going to be worried about how much I amassed, but what have I done that counts? What matters for all eternity? And the greatest thing you can do is live for Jesus. And so God wants to bless you and give you power to advance His mission or His church throughout the world. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 12:7. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. So He will help you to use your gifts effectively. What we talked about last week, as you think about your spiritual gifts or your gift mix, God will bless you with a gift. You're to use that gift to edify the church or edify people. He will help us to share Christ boldly. Some of us, man, we are chicken. We talk ourselves out of sharing. You know what? You never share Christ alone when you share Christ. The Holy Spirit helps you. He helps you to share. Even Paul said, I came to you, to the Corinthians, in weakness and trembling and fear. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And I will tell you, when you get up and you speak to somebody about Christ, you're speaking under the power, the influence of the Holy Spirit. Let Him help you. Let Him lead you. And finally, He will help you to bear fruit consistently. I don't want to be called a hypocrite. People may not agree with my position and what I live for and what I stand for, but hopefully they'll say He's the real deal. He's not perfect, but He really does believe what He says He believes. And the only way for that to happen is for the fruit of the Spirit to be played out in my life. I need to bear fruit for the kingdom. And so the Holy Spirit helps me to do that. And the fruit of the Spirit is listed in Galatians chapter 5. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Listen, the world, the unsaved world, the only evidence they have that we belong to God, really, is our godly lives. If we're going to share the gospel, our godly lives have to match up with what we share. And that's where we've really fallen short in the modern church a lot of times. But he'll help us to bear fruit consistently. So here's my point. Learn to walk in step with the Spirit by saying yes to the Spirit, and don't quench the Spirit. First of all, if you need to be saved today, listen to the Holy Spirit and act on that. Say, yes, Lord, I give my life and my heart to you. I repent of my sins. I trust you. And if you are saved, learn to yield to the Spirit. Walk in the power of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit so that you can live the victorious Christian life. It's really not that hard. It is hard. It's hard to do because we live in a world that's fallen. But you can do it, because if you're saved, you have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. It's the greatest growth agent of all. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this lesson we've had today from your word. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you've not left us as orphans, alone, without recourse in this difficult world. We've got the devil against us, and he is a mighty foe. He's a roaring lion. But greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. We've got our own flesh against us. Our flesh wars against us, it says. Thank you that we're spiritual beings also, and our spirit can connect with your spirit, and we can live a spirit-filled life. And Lord, we've got just the world against us in opposition, so we need to stand strong. Thank you for the fuel we have to reach our destination of living a Christ-exalting, spirit-filled, powerful life for you. I pray that each person here hearing this sermon and hearing this prayer would take whatever steps they need to begin to live the spirit-filled life. Help us to have a revival here, and help us to draw near to you, and then use us, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.